Hey there, everyone. This is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast. And today our thought is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians 15. I think you may have heard this verse before. It's probably a familiar one. But I'm going to read it to you now, and I want you to think about how this applies in your life. Are you ready? It's 1 Corinthians 15, and it's verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So just think about how this relates to you, right? Did you hear that phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Now, I think all of us have places in our lives where we could look at what we've been doing and we could say, I wasn't really abounding in the work of the Lord. And we know that. But I want to take a step back and kind of look at the big picture. What is it that motivates us to always be abounding in God's work? Well, we do it because we're thankful, right? Because we're moved by what God has done. We're moved by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, right? This is a motive force in our lives. We're moved because, as 1 Corinthians 15 even says, because God is going to swallow up death in victory, right? We're moved by the fact that God has done that and given us that victory through Christ. I think in addition to that, there's a large piece here that sometimes escapes our mind, maybe because we're just so engulfed in a results-based society. I think another reason that we abound in the work of the Lord, in addition to what 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us, is because we recognize that God is in control of everything. Have you ever been reading Scripture and realized, wait a minute, there's a lot more going on here than what I initially thought? Let me just give you a few examples. We're used to the story, right? It's a story that we get in Sunday school. Just think about Jonah and the people of Nineveh. Have you ever stepped back to wonder why God was so concerned about Nineveh? Isn't that funny? Right? The Bible is this story about God working with the people of Israel, with the people that he chose as his own people, and then all of a sudden you have a whole book that's dedicated to essentially one Israelite and tens of thousands of Gentiles, of Assyrians even. What's that about? I think what it really shows us is that God is working so much more than we ever realize. And you can just see this over and over all throughout the Bible. I mean, in the book of Genesis, right? Where's Melchizedek come from? We don't know. Right? We have no idea. And I think that's the point. The point is that here is this faithful man who comes from nowhere. The same thing happens with Abraham's family. Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac, and he goes up in Genesis 24, and he meets with Laban and Rebekah, and he explains the whole thing of his vow to Abraham and how God brought him to Rebekah, and Rebekah's family says, well, if this is from Yahweh, then we can't argue with it. What? How did they know who Yahweh was? You know, it's surprising. I guess God was working with them, and we really had no idea. You see the same thing with Moses' family. When you look at Jethro, we're told that he's a priest, and he comes to Moses in Exodus and gives him good advice on how to serve God. But where did he come from? I think God often does this. He inserts these things into Scripture to show us that while we're given pieces of the story, there are a lot of pieces that we don't have. Because that's life. That's our lives. You know, I think we as humans like to think that we're in control and that we know what's going on in the situation. And God often reminds us that we just don't. But I think one thing that we can count on is that God is always working, and God is always working more than we know. So what does this have to do with abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, how often have you found yourself being involved in ecclesial life or trying to do something for somebody else, maybe who's left the truth, because you say, I have to bring that person back? Or, I have to be involved in ecclesial life because if I don't do this, it's not going to happen. But that's not what we need to be worrying about. That's not necessarily what we need to be thinking about. Because God is in control. We are not. And that's the crux of all of this. So why do we abound in the work of the Lord? Does Paul tell us that we abound in the work of the Lord because, well, if we don't, the whole ecclesia is going to fall apart? God's purpose won't be realized if we don't abound in the work of the Lord. But that's not what he says. He says that we abound in the work of the Lord because we are grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ has given the victory. And that can be our motivation. Because we know that God is in control and that we aren't. So we go around honoring God in the things that we do because we love him. Because we recognize what he has done, and because we recognize that he has the power over death, that he has defeated the greatest enemy through the Lord Jesus. It isn't about necessarily accomplishing things or getting things done or converting people or bringing people back. I mean, that's something that we should aim to do, right? We don't just ignore it. But that's not the motivation. So this week, let's aim to look at our lives and ask ourselves if we're abounding in the work of the Lord. Not because we want to produce results, but because we are so moved by what God has done, and because we recognize that we can trust in the fact that even if we make mistakes, even if our abounding in his work isn't very good, but we're trying, we can know that he is in control, that he is working more than we have ever realized, and that his will be done. So let's get out there, and let's do. Let's act. Let's honor God in all the things we do. And I'll see you in 2 weeks in the next Magnify Him Together podcast.